B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we'll be talking about one of the biggest names in European League of Legends changing teams. Also, we'll be talking about the new Boba Fett show, what you're looking forward to, and when it officially drops. Also, a very, very lewd website decided that they also wanted to do video game streaming. I am shocked that we have to talk about this. Also, we will close the show with a new segment called Fire or Flop, where we talk about certain parts of games or games themselves. We decide if they're going to be good or bad. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody, what's going on? Checkpoint Daily here one more time. Your host, Norris Howard. As always, happy to share the booth here with our good friends. To my left side, strong side, La Barba Obscura. What's up?
I remember hearing that all the time when I played football in high school.
That's right.
What, you're and the strong side?
Yeah, it's like, yeah. That, I mean.
What's that supposed to mean?
So, like, Chad.
Here we go.
It's essentially like saying that there's a side that a quarterback throws to. So you have to have a side that's like the main guys because they have to protect a quarterback.
So technically, if you're on the offensive line and your quarterback is right-handed, you want your left side to be the strongest side because that's where his back is.
Got it.
So if your left side sucks, he's getting hit from behind a lot. Mm-hmm. So left side, strong side. But anyway.
It's like saying that, like, I don't know, like, I'd be the one if Norris got into a fist fight. He'd be like, Rick, take this punch. And I'd just take the punch. And then, and then he'd keep going with his life.
Yeah. You know what? What an interesting way to think, because I don't know which one I would take into a fight in this. And I'll take Rick. Rick's the athlete.
I'm scrappy. I'm down to bite somebody's ear off.
I'll take the athlete.
I am no bars held back. I am going
See,
to
See, I feel, that's what I feel like. I feel like Chad has like a hidden, like, if he gets blood on him, he'll just like a, it's just like going.
Ninjago power.
Yeah,
I wouldn't say like I'm strong or like necessarily like difficult to, you know, take down if, like, I was, you know, jumped.
I am not difficult to take down.
I have a feeling there'd be
in a fight or flight situation.
If it was me against, like, five other people, I'd probably go down. But one or two of them will definitely have to go to the hospital at some point.
I feel you. That's how definitely. I fight. That's because I'm a little dude. I fight. Listen, if I ain't shooting you.
Weapons aside, because I can't. Yeah,
weapons aside.
You do what you got to do to win.
Yeah. That's right. And you know how you win? You get to go home. That's how my father told me you approach any fight. You win if you get to go home. Okay. So anyway, Robbie Landis, also an athlete in the chair. What's up?
I'm ready to go.
Just leave.
In fact, no,
release
hold on. No,
me.
It's Thursday, so I'm here like in spirit.
Yeah,
it's the spirit realm. Some time travel stuff.
You're the Ben Kenobi right now. You're
just a force ghost. Anyway,
hello there.
Yeah. Anyway, Chad, what's up?
I've been sucked back into Minecraft. It
again,
real quick. Yeah, everyone.
I feel like every 3 months, like quarterly, you just go back into Minecraft,
like Skyrim.
They're the second half of the new caves update's coming out, and I'm just like prepping for it. There's so much new shit that I just didn't realize, and I'm kind of just getting into. I'm so used to mods that just playing straight up vanilla actually feels like a different game. So I'm just trying to get used to base level.
All right, I got you. But anyway, with all that said, here's what's happening in the world of video games. One of the big stories coming out of the LEC, the European Division of League of Legends, is Reckless, one of the most talented players in all of Europe, formerly of Fnatic fame, is parting ways with G2 Esports after just a season. Now, this is a huge story because G2, this is the first time in a number of years they failed to reach Worlds. So obviously there was going to be an inquest of some sorts. But a lot of people are upset saying that Reckless was not the problem. So I am very interested, Rick, as somebody who at least a little bit follows the Riot video games esports ecosystem.
The Riot extended
the Riot universe. You know, when you hear this story, you know, did you originally kind of go, "Huh, that's a little bit weird, isn't it?"
Yes and no, cuz here's the one thing that I do know about all of this is that G2 are looking for a solution. It feels like they are going to continue to even eat through players that if you had just given more time would have worked. They're like on a win now mentality. And that's never really good for a lot of these big orgs, I think. But also the thing that instantly popped in my mind when I heard this is Reckless is being released. Bjergsen is coming back. They could be the power cut. Dude, I'm telling you.
Like, why take down two really good players?
Well, I feel like if Reckless is leaving and right now does not have a team.
Yep.
And he wants to explore free agency. He's only either going to go back to Fnatic, which I don't think is going to happen.
No.
Or he's going to come to the LCS. And if he comes to the LCS, that is a big move. Now, here's the thing. We said the same thing about Perks coming.
Yeah, we did.
To the LCS. And Perks was, I don't want to call it a flop because they're, you know, he's still playing. But it wasn't as gangbusters as everyone else thought it would be. And so I'm really concerned and I'm really interested to see where he ends up, what this whole saga ends up to be, because G2 is a legacy team. They are a team that, as you said, they want to win. They want to win now. They demand excellence. This is the Real Madrid of esports in Europe. This is a top flight squad, and them not being in Worlds, somebody's head was gonna roll. I'm just very shocked to see it this early. I mean, Worlds hasn't even started yet.
No, but I mean, in the reporting that came out, the relationship between the player and the org is reportedly strained, which means like, so this isn't just like, hey, we're not happy with the way that you're playing. It's like he doesn't like them. They don't like him. They've even turned down Team Vitality, who were looking to buy out his contract because his contract goes through November 2023. And G2 said, no, we're not negotiating with you, Vitality. Because
why would they let him go to a rival? Yeah. Like, if he's going to go anywhere, you are going out of the region.
Well, that's what I'm saying. They're going to
push for that.
They're going to put him in a box like Garfield did to Nurgle.
Like a punishment
and
a
just
bit.
Ship him off to Timbuktu somewhere.
I'm wondering what happened. There's definitely some behind the scenes.
I mean,
stuff
I'm gonna be
to
honest. Ocelot, the owner of G2, is a strong personality.
Yeah. That's an understatement.
And I feel like if he does not vibe with you, that's gonna create problems. I think added on top of that, the fact that they're not going to Worlds, which was not supposed to happen.
And I mean, you got to remember, this is also after they failed in Valorant.
Mm-hmm.
League is supposed to be their thing. That's
their bread and butter.
That's where cashes their checks. So, like, I think this has probably been brewing, and then I bet you just, like, G2 has had not a fun time over the past couple of weeks.
It's interesting because, like, we talked a couple days ago about, like, 100 Thieves and Team Liquid, about how good they are, not just in esports. Like, they don't have to be the best in esports to do really well.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it feels so weird to hear something like G2 is like they have to be the best or else they're nothing.
But this is why it behooves these organizations to figure that part of it out, because let's be honest, all right, there's plenty of teams and plenty of professional sports leagues that are the same way. The Detroit Football Lions
have won one
champions to make a profit.
Exactly. They've won one playoff game since the Civil Rights Movement. And so, you know, they are still a profitable team. They make money.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. But they sell jerseys, people go to the games, people, you know, buy the merch, da 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 da. Esports as a whole has to figure that part out.
It's weird because certain ones have. I just don't understand. It's the map is there, figured out.
I think you're also competing, unlike traditional sports, where again
the tribalism. I get
the tribalism, and this is part of the thing that Overwatch League had in his wheelhouse and was an advantage when it first came out. Is that if you live in Dallas, you're not gonna be caught dead wearing no Outlaw shit. That's just the way it works. You know what I'm saying? So, I feel like because there's not necessarily that level of of affinity for a particular esports organization.
Well, and again, if you look at the ones at the top, the way they do it by building their brand, you need influencers.
Got to have influencers, got to have streamers, got to have people,
Use it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just literally like they've demanded excellence in CSGO. They've demanded excellence in League. They're demanding excellence when it comes to Valorant. Like, they're just the sports. They want to win sports. They want to win esports. That's it.
But, you know, we will see what the future holds. Reckless, please come to America. Now, we have loved us some Mandalorian. One of the coolest things in Season 2 of The Mandalorian is the appearance of Boba Fett. We were very excited about that. It was very cool to see that whole thing play out. And we got the teaser to The Book of Boba Fett, which is a new series that is supposed to be coming out. And we finally have a date for that show. It is going to be coming out December 29th. Is when the Book of Boba Fett will drop.
It'll start up right after Hawkeye finishes then.
Yeah, again, like we said, every month, something on Disney Plus every month. So I think that's the wave, but I still got to finish Visions, or is that what, Visions?
Visions, yeah. Star Wars Visions,
I still got to finish Visions because
I got 4 or 5 episodes.
I got caught up, you know, playing Deathloop and a bunch of other shit. But I could not be more hyped for this. I don't know what the hell this could cover.
I'm excited,
but I hope it's that in between time for when he escaped the fucking Sarlacc and the Mandalorian.
I hope it just says like
I hope episode 1 is just inside the Sarlacc, just the whole thing. Give us like some 27 days or 27 hours, but
of just in the Sarlacc.
I want to open it with a crawl of just like Cara Dune's X-Wing crashed, LOL, bye. And then just move on with the show after that.
So here's my issue, because I don't really consider myself like a Star Wars fan in the same way that I am like a Marvel fan.
I've
watched everything. The movies were fine.
But you're not going to fist fight anybody over Star Wars?
I really enjoyed The Mandalorian. That's probably like my favorite Star Wars property.
It's your gateway in.
So I was never out, though, is my point.
Yeah, but there's
just
a difference between movies.
Just let me finish, because I don't have any problem with the movies. I enjoyed them. I have no stake in any of it, right? So with the Boba Fett stuff, and it could be because I don't, you know, I'm not into the canon. I don't know all the background, like exactly who Boba Fett is and what he's done and shit like that. But just based on what I've seen in The Mandalorian, A, I have no idea what this show could cover. And B, as of right now, I'm not really interested. The only thing that has me interested is I love The Mandalorian, and Disney Plus just in general has been really, really good. So I'm sure it's going to be good, but I'm not like hyped or excited.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I feel like for those who are not deep into Star Wars lore, that is probably the proper way to feel about it, because Boba Fett has a mythos among Star Wars fans that was built up way back. We're talking about in the 80s and 90s. People were high on Boba Fett. Boba Fett is the coolest thing.
Boba Fett kind of supposed to be a throwaway character?
He was a garbage tier character for a long time.
He wasn't meant to be so popular.
No, it's because you had a series of bounty hunters and he was the only one they gave a name to. And he just had a fly design.
Well, it's merchandising. It's the fat, you know what I mean? It's like how they... Sometimes if you go and look at old Star Wars toys, they'll have a droid robot. It's not R2, it's not C-3PO, it's just some name.
It'll be like HK-42,
and that's
like one of those.
But they'd make toys of it. Boba Fett was the
cool toy.
He was just a cool toy. That's what it ended up being. So, you know, I think. And then it eventually got expanded on in the prequels, just because they were like, oh wow, we gotta explain Boba Fett. I think it's just like it's cool, but at the same time, the reason The Mandalorian has worked so well is that it hasn't dealt with any of the Skywalker bullshit.
It got to do its own thing.
Yes, it has. It's not retreading the same shit that we've seen a million
arguably,
times.
Arguably, Boba Fett's only Skywalker bullshit we already seen. So why would it, we that story's
see,
already been told?
They don't have to retread that.
They don't have to retread that.
So what's it going to be though? Like that's my thing. All Boba Fett's like.
So here's the thing.
At some point,
he, in Return of the Jedi, he gets knocked into the Sarlacc pit.
Yep.
So we know at some point he gets out. So you either do one of two things. You talk about everything he did up until he met the Mandalorian and we started to see, which in my opinion, would be kind of lame. I don't want that. I don't really care. I think you can handle that in some flashbacks or one or two, whatever. Yeah. I am more interested in what he's doing now in terms of being essentially the head crime boss of the planet Tatooine. And I want to see more Fennec because more Ming-Na is good, okay, across the board.
Here's, I think...
With that in mind, I'm going to let you go in just a second, Chad. With that in mind, here's what I want to see. I want to see, like, some Sopranos Mafia-level stuff in the Star Wars universe. Like, he's on this planet now. He's the head crime boss, and he has to go up against other crime families.
Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
I would really like that.
I'm hoping that we will see actually a little bit more into the Mandalorian lifestyle, because Mando doesn't have the history. He doesn't know
He's not even a real Mandalorian.
He's not a real, like, you know, he's not from there. So it's interesting to see that they focus on this character. I get why, you know, if you watch the show. But, like... Boba does.
Yeah.
You can really go in depth with that kind of stuff and use that in this current timeline.
I'm going to be honest.
Now that we're seeing a bunch of more Mandalorians popping
up. Boba Fett's not a real Mandalorian either.
He's a clone.
He's a clone.
Oh, fair enough. By the way, even still,
foundlings are considered by the Mandalorians to be real Mandalorians.
To be real Mandalorians.
But still, like, but not from Mandalore.
Mandalore. Yeah, that's the only thing. So
it's just like, I don't know. I think this is like. The quality meter is much higher than the hype meter for me on this. I think it'll be good. Am I like literally putting it on a calendar to be like, oh my God, I can't wait.
I am.
When it comes out, it comes out. Yep. And I think it'll be good and we'll be excited when it does. But until then, I just going into it with no expectations, which I think is good.
I feel about this show the same way I feel about or the same way I felt about Loki, which is foreboding. Which is. This is too much of one motherfucker, all right? Well, we all know people like Boba Fett. I don't fucking know why, but people like him. Seeing him in The Mandalorian was cool. It was fine. I enjoyed it, but in the same way.
Did he need his own show?
Exactly. I don't know. You know who did? The lead female that he's got with him. Yeah, so you know what? Fennec. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, Fennec. I'm totally with...
Give Ming-Na Wen everything.
Just give her everything, because she's awesome.
I hope they put her in a high place for the...
In a very crazy change of pace, if you will. the live cam site, and I'm choosing my words very carefully here. The live camming site, Chatterbait, has announced that they are going to allow... pre-approved video games on their platform. Now, listen.
Hold on. Can we start with the context of what pre-approved means?
So they are calling developers. They will have a list of games you can play.
Okay. See, my question was going to be like, does like, you know, things like Twitch, Facebook, YouTube, do they have to go through like special permissions to be able to stream video games?
No, I mean, I think it's more about what game developers
are more
don't necessarily want their games
exactly they're more on the back end of we know what you can't stream it on but for the most part YouTube, Twitch, whatever.
I think it's like Disney rules, right? Yeah. Or Nintendo.
Nintendo rules.
Nintendo, it will only come down on you if you make a Mario porn parody, but if you know, like, if you're just drawing a Mario character, they'll let it go.
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing that I think is just weird, okay? Because, listen, there's going to be porn online forever. There always was. There always will be. So let's just get over that
part
of it.
The internet is for porn.
That is literally probably its number one use of all things, to be honest with you. Based on internet traffic, I believe that is the number one use for the internet. However... if you are a game developer and you get that email from Chatterbait, what do you do? Because the way I feel is that if you are a indie game, if you're the people who made Subverse, for instance, isn't this your wheelhouse? Isn't this exactly the convergence you want?
Well, I mean, also, you have to think, if you go to Steam most times and go to, like, the top games of the month, A large majority of them are like porn, hentai, anime.
That's what I'm saying. Like, so if
you know that it's not just like, oh, there's games out there that do that. It is a large majority of
the
software.
I'm saying isn't there a sort of sub industry, if you will, of porn games or adult games that could find new audiences via something like Chatterbait.
Because you can't even stream like Doki Doki, Literature. What's the game that we've talked about many times, Robbie?
Subverse.
It's an anime one that we... I don't know. I just know that, like...
There's plenty.
Yeah,
there's
a bunch. Oh, Hootie Pop!
That's there you go. You can't stream Hootie
Pop. Can't stream Hootie Pop or Hootie Pop 2. This is a place that you'd be able to go. I don't know how many people would, like, go out of their way.
I just want to put this out there and be on the record. I have never spoken to Weirdbeard about Hootie Pop or Hootie Pop 2.
Yes, you have. I just don't know. Is there... Like, yes, there's an audience, but how many people are not going to Chatterbait to do a certain activity?
Let me tell you something. More than the people who would see it by itself.
Yeah, well, and here's what it comes down to. Obviously, that seems like it would be a fine marriage between the two, but it's also still very, very niche. If you could get approval from, like, GTA 5 mm-hmm. to do GTA role-playing on Chatterbait, that, I think, is a game-changer for Chatterbait.
All right. I see what you mean. I mean, the way I just view it is this is just really, really stupid. But at the same time, I find it to be very, very funny because let's not front that there's not a convergence between video games and very, very horny people because there is.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Look at Hades. Look at Boyfriend Dungeon.
Games built on horny. So, like. For me, I just personally think I'll never partake in something like this, but there's plenty of people who will.
Oh, absolutely.
So you know what? Fuck it. Why not? Let them play games. Why not? So with that said, that's going to be it for part one. In part two, we're going to be playing Fire or Flop, where we go against different video games and say, are they going to be good or bad? So make sure you guys stick around. We got more coming up on Checkpoint Daily.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. We're just having a discussion on if you should take an internet literacy test in high school.
Yep, and if you fail, you don't get to go on the internet.
I don't know. I'm kind of in for it, man. Mm-hmm. But anyway, it'll at least stop my dad from, you know, not having a profile picture and getting hacked on Facebook every 30 days. But anyway, you know, I wanted us to just take a moment and look at some things coming up on our radars and talk about if we actually like them or are looking forward to them and, you know, how we truly, truly feel about them. So we got a new segment here called Fire or Flop, in which we will go around the horn, give our very, very brief explanation, and then say, will it be fire or flop? So, first and foremost, we are going to start with the Halo Infinite beta. All right. The reason why I bring that up is the beta is finally supposed to be going down this weekend. If you want to try it out, you'll be able to go and download it, check it out, play the game. It is going to be beta Windows. So if you're not there during that particular time period, you won't be able to play. It's not just online like many other betas. But with that said, starting with you, Robbie Landis, is this going to be fire or is this going to flop?
The one question I do have, this isn't the first beta they've done, is it?
For multiplayer, it is.
It is.
Yes. They had a closed beta for mm-hmm. certain content creators and, okay. and personalities. This is the first open beta.
Ooh, fully open beta. Anybody can get in type mm-hmm. deal. Look, I don't think it's going to flop because I think we've heard enough from people that, you know, it feels like old Halo is, that there's going to be enough mm-hmm. nostalgia there to where people aren't going to outright hate it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that there might be a little bit of fire, and not as in like, oh, that's lit, as in servers or something might be on fire.
Okay. It's a beta, so we expect that. So if you had to pick one, there's no in between. You got to pick
one. It'll probably be successful. It'll be closer to success than failure.
All right. Weirdbeard.
Do you want to know the thing that turns me off the Halo Infinite beta so much right mm-hmm. now?
Everything.
Have you seen all the leaked content that they went in and found in the data miners found in it? They found that there was memes, like memes on memes on memes. Like literally they took every meme from the early 2000s and turned it into spray tags and turned it into stickers.
Nice.
They made it so that it seems like there's going to be
antlers. Is that the Vision meme but Master Chief?
Yes.
Oh my God.
They also, it looks like they've unearthed so that there's going to be like antlers and red Rudolph noses attached.
Uh-huh.
I think that here, and here's my thing.
I think this is going to turn off some of the old heads, actually.
They have a lot of shit to worry about, and they are worried about some dumb shit off the rip, being like, you want to make memes? No, make a game. What are you doing?
Do you think that these are sort of like weird Band-Aid sort of things? Because it's had a troubled development period. That these are the type of things, like, let's put in some cool things that people will like and have fun with to hopefully distract from the stuff that they're not going to like.
I think it's the entropy of, like, Apex Legends, where Apex Legends now charges $10 for hollow sprays, which is insanity.
Don't buy the hollow sprays then.
I won't. But I think it's like they have just closed that gap. They're not even going to have the pretend that we're okay and not, you know, get a microtransaction the shit out of this to just, dog, this is how it's going to happen.
Blown.
Fuck you.
Yeah.
So I would say this is going to be I bet you they put in more time into memes than they did in the game. It's a flop.
I am leaning flop simply because when people say, oh, it feels like old Halo, I think there's enough people who don't necessarily want it to feel like old Halo. They want it to feel like better Halo. And I think when you have games that are dealing with nostalgia, that are so, so diving deep into old feelings, I think you run the risk of playing too safe. And I think that's what this seems to look like it's doing. Listen, the customization options look great.
Cool.
The ability to make your Spartan look completely like yours is awesome, and y'all know I'm a sucker for cosmetics.
Yeah.
But with the memes and the other stuff that really, in my opinion, nobody gives two shits about, I feel like it is leaning more flop simply because I'm not sure Halo has the cultural hold on video games that it used to. And I think if this drops and it is anything short of perfection, which I don't think they can do, then people are going to revolt. I think this is the one game series in which people will go, what the fuck? Absolutely
not. It's going to be one of those instances where people want it so badly and they wanted it to come out so soon, even though it was delayed almost like a full freaking year, that when it finally comes out, if it's not great, they're going to be like, why didn't you take longer with it?
It's you know what it makes me feel like? It feels like when you say it feels like old Halo. It has very much strong hello, fellow kids energy, where
yes.
It's like,
yes, it's like, okay, it's like, I love Street Fighter 3 Third Strike.
Yeah.
I do not want Street Fighter 6 to be Third Strike. Third Strike came out in 1999. I don't want a game 20 years later to feel like that.
You can say, oh, it feels like old Call of Duty and have it be a compliment because Call of Duty comes out every single year. There's a million freaking games. Halo has not had a million mainline entries, and the fact that this is the, like, first real Halo game in, like, recent memory, you can't just say, oh, it's old Halo. Then it's just literally old Halo.
Old Halo, which is whack. But anyway, moving on to our next selection, we did get our first glimpse of a screenshot of The Last of Us for HBO. Now, we do know it's going to be starring Pedro Pascal as Joel, who
hell yeah.
I think is got the acting chops to definitely do it. But a lot of people were...
And Bella Ramsey, was Lady Mormont from Game of Thrones.
That's right. So, again, I think casting, pretty good. But a lot of people were saying they felt the same way from this screen cap, which how the fuck do you feel like this from a screen cap, that they felt from the Cowboy Bebop intro reveal, which is it looks like a fan video. It looks like
the back of their head.
It looks like cosplay, and
First of all, because it is that's essentially what it is. These actors are cosplaying them.
But anyway, based on not just the screenshot,
stupid.
Not just based on the screenshot, but the things you've heard, read about this show, do you feel like it is going to be fire or flop?
Fire, because it's the guy who's writing and executive producing it is the Chernobyl creator, Craig Mazin.
They also have Neil Druckmann is helping with it as well. I'm going to agree. I think that The Witcher proved to just sort of Hollywood, streaming, blah, 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 in general, that the place for gaming adaptations is longer form limited series.
Not a movie.
Not a movie. And HBO Max, I think, look, they somehow, even though it still sucked, they somehow made Justice League better.
They did.
So, you know what? Yeah, I agree, Rick. I think this is going to be fire.
The other note that I want to make on it, too, is that Naughty Dog will make this work. Like, this is not a this is their property now. Mm-hmm. It used to be Uncharted, right? In contention with Last of Us. Uncharted, that movie is a fucking dumpster fire from what I've seen, and I'm not going to be looking forward to it. So I think internally, if I was them, I would know, like, no thank you. I will take Last of Us and just make it be a better Walking Dead. You know what I mean? Like, they already started the formula.
So here is where I think I disagree with you guys. I personally think the show will be great. I think the production values will be A1. I think the acting will be great. I think the writing will be good. I think everything with it will be exactly what anybody wanted from this show. And the normies will reject it. They will reject it because they're saying, it's just The Walking Dead again. So you're going to have the normies on one side, and you're going to have the Neil Druckmann weird beard, not weird beard, but the Neil Druckmann, I thought of his beard, but you have the Neil Druckmann, the quartering slash, you know, the people who just hate The Last of Us because it dared to get you to feel complex emotions about anything. And you're going to have those two forces combining in a Wonder Twins sort of alliance in order to destroy any positive feeling around this show. And on top of that, you got a bleak, dour, sad, hopeless show in an era where TV is trying its best to get back to the feel good. I watch TV to be entertained. I want to learn lessons, and I want to walk away from the show feeling more complete than I did when I sat down. I feel like this could have come out 5 years ago and been one of the best shows on TV, but I think the paradigm in how we make TV is shifting a little bit, and I think it may just be a little bit too late. So I'm actually going with flop, even though I'm going to probably watch it and love
it. I do see where all that's coming from. I think they all have solid basis in reality. Few questions. First of all, I think that it's going to be okay with the Walking Dead fans because the Walking Dead got to a point where everyone hates it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it catches that vibe, but the zombies are different because it's the whole, you know,
the cordyceps
fungus thing. Yeah. So long as no other zombie movie that I'm aware of has done that yet, so that the normies can go, oh, well, you just copied that. I think the normies will actually be okay with it. Okay. Now, to the bleakness, because that's something that even I'm running into a lot right now as well. And we obviously got that in spades in The Last of Us 2, especially.
Yeah.
But the relationship between Joel and Ellie, I think, is something else that will set it apart from The Walking Dead, because that was a show that was always bleak. There was never any happy endings or happy moments. But I think that Joel and Ellie's relationship can sort of be the bright light in that.
I hope so, man. I really hope so. So I definitely think that, you know, it's going to be a good show. Very quickly, the last one, fire or flop, playing new consoles with old-ass controllers. I'm specifically talking about the N64 and the Sega Genesis controllers coming out for emulators.
I was thinking about this just the other day as I was driving home. I'm like, do I want to use an N64 controller
for anything?
Like, I just think about going back and forth between mouse and keyboard, you know, on the PC, and then just a controller on PlayStation, like with FPSs in it being weird. I don't even remember how to hold that thing.
So I want to start with you, Robbie. They said they're not changing some of the optimization for the controls, and say the N64 controller is going to be the best controller to use with the N64 games.
Here is my professional, nuanced opinion.
All right.
I think that the flop of these controllers is going to produce some fire content as you see people who have never held or used them before attempt to.
All right, so we're gonna say flop with Robbie Weirbeard, the Nintendo head in the room here.
You know, you're gonna put that controller in Bailey's hands. What's
and she's
got
to say, I don't have three hands.
You know what? I'm most interested to see if they changed. Was do you remember that at one point N64 owners were entitled to get a glove because they would tear their hands up from doing the stick,
yes, stick rotations.
Mario Party,
yes.
I remember that. So, I also feel like those like the joystick always broke so quickly. And
well, it drifted instantly.
I'm very interested, especially with the way that Nintendo has treated the Switch controllers. You know what I mean? The Joy-Cons. I want to say it'll work. It's not going to. I want to say it's going to be good, but just they have had such a piss poor record on having.
But the Pro Controller is so good.
I know.
It's so good.
I know, but
it is literally, in my opinion, one of the best controllers Nintendo has ever made, and it gets no credit.
So good. I don't know though, because it's like if they just copied the N64 controller as it was and made it Bluetooth, I think you're in trouble. I think if they updated it somehow, we just don't know what they did to it. You know, I also think that if it doesn't come with a nice layer of like Cheeto dust,
no. Let me tell you. Listen, I agree. I think it's gonna be flop. I don't think not enough people are gonna buy this. However, I will say if it does come in the clear green and the clear purple, that's a game changer.
Yes. What color? What color is your in your house?
Blue.
Blue, Robbie, what color controller?
I'd go with a blue or a green.
I was always a fan of the red or the yellow.
I got the solid blue, Mad Catz. Mm-hmm. That was mine. Okay, nobody else used that.
You used a Mad Catz on purpose?
Yes.
That is.
Yes, because the Mad Catz, I have really long, spindly fingers. And so trying to use the normal one, my fingers would hit each other even as a kid. So the Mad Catz, it bowed out. It bowed out the two side handles just enough so that I could play comfortably. Was it a inferior controller? Abso-fucking-lutely.
It's the Fruit Rings to the Fruit Loops.
But let
of
me tell you. But let me tell you. If I whooped your ass in WCW, No Mercy,
I'd feel
with
worse.
That controller, it's, you it, should feel worse.
It's like in movies where you see like the old like wise man with like the beat up, you know, rusty blade, and then like the knight with the new brand new shiny. It don't matter if you don't know how to use it.
No, it's me. I am the old man beating people with a stick. Yep. That is what I do. So I had that one, and then I had the ice blue, which was the standard controller in the clear ice blue, which was my other one. So I think we're going to go around the horn and call that one a flop. I have no idea who was spending $40 on this. Outside
50.
Of shit. It's, oh, yeah, $49.99. You're right. $50 on this for shit.
I will,
gigs.
Because Katie is playing this the way it was meant to be played.
Okay, see, okay. That is the only context, that, in my opinion,
Ocarina
in which
time.
It is okay. Is if you got somebody in your household who is really hype on playing some of these classics, you got to get the controller because it's got to be played that way. It's got to be played that way. But anyway, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. We will be back here tomorrow for our weekend episode, so make sure you are tuned in for that. For Weirdbeard, Robbie Landis, and Chad Callahan, I am your host, Norris Howard, and we will end the week with you tomorrow. Have a good one.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.